This episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. Football is right around the corner, less than a week to go until the kickoff for week one. If football's your passion, you know the players and teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test to play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes that they're doling out in the week one contest, because DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You don't have to worry about if you drafted Teddy Bridgewater. You can play whenever you want with the players that you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging your friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or you could join an existing league to go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest, only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from the basement, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who's also dated every single kind of guy there is. Rob Cicerino, everybody, welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here on the road. One more episode here in Round Robin Week as we recap the Labor Day weekend Sunday night episode of Big Brother. Such a benchmark in the Big Brother season. Once we get past Labor Day, it's all coming to a head in the next 2.5 weeks as we approach the finale. And here to join us on Round Robin Week, first, the guy who's here with us every Sunday night, here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk about, you know, everybody always says in the game of Harry Potter, you win or you die. So really excited to talk about this.
Harry Potter.
Unbelievable Harry Potter. World of yep. Game of Harry Potter world. Unbelievable yes. World of yes. Game of Harry Potter.
And also here with us tonight, rounding out Round Robin Week, here is Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good. Taryn beat me to the Harry Potter joke, so I will just say let's go ahead and pour one out for all the starving children in America that had to potentially witness just such a waste of eggs, Rob.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
brutal.
Boy. Well, you haven't seen this many eggs wasted on Big Brother since James played in the Hide Your Veto competition. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is actually the second most eggs James has broken in a competition this season.
Yeah, this season really not the poster child for, you know, give kids the world or any of these types of situations here.
They love yes. Pies. They hate eggs.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Give kids the protein. That's what I'm saying.
Whoa. All right. So a lot going on here on this episode, this Sunday night episode of Big Brother. We want to hear your questions tonight. Hashtag RHAP. I think we might be able to get to a lot of your questions tonight because not a ton happened in this week's episode. We spent 20 minutes on the HOH competition. If you listen to our Friday update, we basically covered just about everything yeah. That happened in this episode. So at least we'll have a chance to catch our breath a little bit, answer your questions. You could also post them on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, and we'll get into everything. Plus, we had a special bonus podcast over the weekend. I talked to your birthday boy, Rodney Lavoie Jr., who spoke on the podcast. It was his birthday. It was his damn birthday on Friday. He had one wish to come on the podcast and talk about his boy, James, who is on this season. And things have certainly taken a turn for the worse for James over the weekend as he is now sitting up on the block with his house
best friend.
What would you say? Best friend. His yes, he is in the best friend zone, and he sits up on the block with Natalie. I spoke with James. I spoke with Rodney about that. Plus Rodney Bowl too, and a couple things in a special podcast from over the weekend. But I guess we start here with for James and Natalie. Boy, what a turn it was! Where up until about an hour before the eviction show, they thought they had the whole game in their hands, thought they had a final four, and then a quick turn of events for them to realize that they were going to be up on the block, and for James potentially going out of the house. Taryn, how do you how did they cope with all this information where they really, they thought they had the game in their hands, and then, nope, you're not actually going to win the game and be the final two. You're actually probably going to go out back-to-back here.
Well, I think we saw some of it. A lot of it was Natalie going like, oh, man, I wish we had really done what I wanted to do and not what you wanted to do, James, but I really trusted you, and man, we're just screwed now, aren't we?
All in all, though, I feel like they took it pretty well, because I have gotten much less serious bad information, and I'm just going nuts, that I'm just going going crazy. I thought that one of my kids was going to be sick today, and I was just like throwing chairs around the apartment here, Alex, that, boy, if I found out I was going to lose Big Brother all of a sudden when I thought I had it won, I don't think I would have taken it as well as James and Natalie.
Well, you probably would have been better feeds this summer then, Rob, because I think that speaks to James. You know, he's not someone that reacts very strongly one way or another. He might feel it. You know, he's a very emotional guy. He's very, very poetic in that way, but he's certainly not, you know, the closest we've ever seen him to blowing up is when, like, Clay got up in his face and he just, like, didn't back down because, like, I don't know, Texas Code or something along those lines.
Yeah, Texas Code to me sounds a lot like the Pottery Barn rule. The sort of like, if you break it, you buy it, apparently, in Texas, Taryn.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think we should say that James is an emotional poet. I think that, like, that's kind of disrespectful to Austin. I feel like he holds that role. You know, he's a victim, aren't we all? You know, when he gets put on the block, he cries for it. Like, he really goes for the emotion. So I think James is in another category here.
Yeah, why? I was so mad, I thought that maybe the hurricane might potentially affect my flight on Tuesday, and I was even more mad then. I was like, come on! Come on! It's really James and Natalie. It's just like, oh, man. Yes, you win some, you lose some. But for James, we heard him say, like, well, you know, for me, I've already won the game, Natalie. I've already found you. And we had the first of a couple of odd conversations between James and Natalie. It's like the words sound good, but the body language and the actions, Alex, are not consistent with what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something that, you know, people who have been watching the feeds have been beginning to talk about a little bit for the last few weeks, is kind of these signs are there. You know, if you guys were really, really into each other, kind of the way you talk about, I don't think, you know, I think, you know, when you kiss, it wouldn't be these little pecks, you know, it wouldn't be like, it's just hard as anyone who's ever been in a relationship to watch this and feel like, oh yeah, these two people are totally in love, right?
It's like they're having these conversations and she's like, James, you know, you're my best friend, you're my soulmate, and you know, I'm so glad I found you. But it's like from like across the room to each other,
his and hers beds, no less. They're like sleeping in like Bert and Ernie in the separate, like,
it was so awkward, Taryn, that conversation they're having where James is like, you know, just because I like you doesn't mean that you are obligated to like me back. And she's like, James, what are you talking about? Like, I've dated ugly guys before.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said to him. Like, listen, James, I'm not like other girls. I date for personality, not for looks.
Oh, good. Now I can sleep easy.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that, actually.
I've dated cute guys. I've dated ugly guys, you know. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, here's one thing you've got. I haven't dated an Asian guy yet. So you've got that going for you.
You know, I've dated guys that I've had a physical relationship with. I've dated guys that I have not had any sort of physical contact with also. You'd be in that category, James.
I think the most telling thing is the fact that she constantly refers to him as best friend. Like,
best friend.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason you don't see James referring to Natalie as best friend constantly. Like, she has to constantly remind the audience and James, like, listen, we're best friends. That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yes, we are in the best friend zone. Alex, is best friend zone potentially even worse than friend zone? Because I feel like you can come out of the friend zone and potentially get into the relationship zone. I feel like best friend zone, that's it. That's basically a dead end. Best friend zone.
Yeah, well, it could maybe speak to why James like is so adamant about not talking, like he's not talking to Meg anymore. I think there is something about if you get too close and too attached and it's not real, then you're kind of setting yourself up there.
Then maybe we'll be dead wrong about this. You know, maybe James and Natalie will get out of the house and there will be some sort of a showmance. And again, you know, the world of reality TV is a crazy world where that the equation of the popularity of a reality star can tend to be multiplied when you factor in a relationship, that when they get out of the house, Natalie or James could say, boy, you know, our star is not as bright as it would be if Jadalee was together, and maybe for the sake of that, I think I don't want to be super cynical about this. Basically, I'm saying, who knows? But it just does not seem to be that the writing seems very much on the wall, Taryn.
Yeah, and I don't even think you're being very cynical about this. I think that this is something that we've seen a lot in Big Brother, and it really wouldn't surprise me if what you described happens, where they, you know, they give it a shot. And, you know, after everyone's kind of forgotten about them, they'll quietly announce that, like, oh, yeah, you know, we just live too far away and things happened and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then James will be tweeting about it passive aggressively and we'll know the details.
Yeah. Not to mention that, you know, yeah, it's just it's a rough situation kind of any way you look at it. I mean, it's I don't see it ending well for the guy.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like Nicole and Corey, like we aren't sort of like betting too highly on the future of that, but at least, you know, that seems like, you know, that is what it is, right, Alex?
They didn't get the like sweet like music to their edit though. You know what I mean? I don't think the show has painted them quite the way, and maybe that's just my perspective and other people would disagree, but I don't feel like the show has painted Nicole and Corey quite the same way as James and Natalie. Like James and Natalie, they kind of locked in as like their sweetheart couple, like, ooh, we can Jeff and Jordan them up. And that's the way the edit has played it, but right, I mean, it's very, very possible, and I think actually more than likely that this is like, you know, yeah, you're going to end up in a situation where all these fans are reaching out to James saying like, are you and Natalie still together? And he's just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he is going to want to talk about it, but that's a sonnet.
Yeah.
And the difference for the Nicole and Corey thing, but at least like that there is that this relationship is being consummated on the regular in the house. Like we have some physical, like we're not just not bullish on it's going to work between that. And, you know, we're not really too high on the idea that Corey has feelings about Nicole outside of the house. But, you know, for the time being, like this is a fling. This is happening. The James and Natalie thing is just being sold to us as this and sold to James as like this storybook romance. Taryn, if James was not under the belief that him and Natalie are going to be together outside the house, do you feel like that he would be conducting himself differently over these last couple of weeks?
I do. I think he spent a lot of time focusing on Natalie instead of focusing on the game. And I think that could definitely be a reason why he was so kind of lost last week, you know, thinking that he had Nicole, even though he didn't. He was busy sort of placating Natalie and trying to figure out their relationship. And he's still doing that this week, even though he's on the block. He's, you know, the fact that Victor won HOH, he knew Victor would be coming after him. He's still spending a lot of time talking to Natalie about, you know, if you don't like me, you're not obligated to stay with me. And you know, I'm so sorry that I ruined our game, and you know, I want to make it up to you. I want to, you know, sacrifice my game for you, stuff like that. Like his head is just so in the clouds and so focused on other things.
Yeah, I mean, one could argue his head was never in the game, but it's certainly not at this point in time.
Yeah, can you argue at all in the wisdom of the game move for him to go to Victor and to say, hey, look, that was all me, don't put Natalie up on the block, she wanted to keep you? Could you argue that that was actually decent strategy? Because if only one of them goes up on the block, there's the possibility that she could win the veto, take him off, and potentially both of them could be safe this week. Am I being super generous there?
I think you're being really generous. I think it's, I mean, you know, you should definitely have a conversation and you should definitely try to do something, but yeah, I don't think that was, you know, the pitch that he, you know, should make. And I also think that he approached it kind of poorly. The timing wasn't great. And he also just really was, kind of pathetic in the way he went about it, which, you know, doesn't really inspire confidence at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're in a locked room and you're like, isn't it kind of smart, though, that he kind of just daintily checked the lock first? Like, I mean, it should be everyone's first move if you're in this position. And he didn't particularly do it that well.
Okay. Well, then let's take a
look. And Nicole and Corey, by the way, playing good defense in that moment. That's the Big Brother version of defense right there. Go in
just
that room, shut it down.
Just
shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to say something, James, let's hear it. I know it's about me, so I'm going to sit here and make you say it in front of me. And more often than not, players will just hope to find another spot. And maybe they won't, because you're just going to keep shutting it down.
Yeah, James had such a half-hearted pitch to Victor. I mean, we've seen people get like really animated and energetic in that spot where it's like, you know what? Hold on a second. Corey and Nicole, what they did was they told us and they threw you under the bus and they were working so hard. It's like, oh, guys, come on. Come on. I mean, yeah, you got me. Natalie, I mean, that Taryn, do you want to see a little more energy in that spot from James, or in a weird way, is it sort of like counterintuitive where him being a quote unquote low energy, does that sort of like, oh, well, James is kind of already defeated. Maybe we should keep him around.
Well, yeah, being low energy will definitely help him stay over Natalie, but ultimately that's not his goal. You know, looking back at Paul, the week that Natalie was targeting Paul, after he was nominated, he immediately went up to the HOH room and he was very animated. He was like, listen, guys, you know, you can do whatever you want, but this is the truth and I need you to know this. And it worked, at least for a little while. But again, I think that James was more focused instead, not even just focused on his own survival, not even just focused on his and Natalie's survival, but I think James's main goal in that conversation was to get out this second part, which is, oh, but it wasn't Natalie. She's the one you shouldn't go after. I'm falling on my sword here. And then he gets to go downstairs and say, hey, look, I sealed my fate to ensure that you're going to stay this week. So, yeah.
Yeah, Natalie, before you let your heart break over that, maybe you want to, like, watch the footage back, because he didn't exactly, like, you know, turn water into wine here. He's kind of coming down and selling you a bill of goods a little bit on that conversation. But it's definitely...
I basically just ruined my game to save you.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Your game was, in such great shape. And then you just, No, but, like, it is. You know, we heard him talk about in the DR. It's the Texas code again. You know, it's me trying to make something right when I did something wrong by somebody. And like, this wasn't, again, wasn't this guy born in South Carolina? You've got Corey, who's like born and raised in Texas. Like, what's Texas code? What is he talking about? I have no idea.
All right, one other thing about James and Natalie, real quick. Let's go around the horn here of Alex. If somehow Natalie goes on to win the game, better or worse for the prospects of James and Natalie being together after the show?
Ooh,
Natalie,
worse.
Winner of Big Brother 18. Worse. Taryn, better or worse?
Definitely worse.
Definitely worse. And
yeah, she's going to have less options with $500,000 in her pocket.
I will sweep it. James, this is a terrible idea. You want Natalie to lose the game. If your ultimate goal is to be with Natalie, she needs to lose too. Your best bet is in the jury house, bro.
Yeah, and like you even saw her, like she was saying, the reason that she wanted to maybe sacrifice her game was because she couldn't stand the thought of not being in there in the house with him. Like, what would she do on her own? I think a lot of this relationship comes from the fact that James makes her feel safe in the game. And that is a large sense of comfort for her. If she is able to break out of that shadow and win on her own, I think that what else does James got left?
In fairness, I also think that the best case scenario for James would be if he stayed in that game and won. And then Natalie, I almost feel like, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but like in Big Brother 14, I feel like that Ian's best shot with Ashley was after the season was over and he won the game. She might have been saying like, oh, maybe I should give this guy another look.
That makes you attractive.
Yes. Yes. I don't know.
But she doesn't go for looks, just personality.
Yes.
Okay. It certainly doesn't hurt. You know? People gotta go to dinner and stuff too. People gotta eat.
People got to eat. All right. So then from the perspective of the sitting ducks, I by the way, my favorite part of the episode, and really that the Big Brother editors have had some really good stuff lately.
Yeah.
The segment of Pablo getting taken out by Michelle and then Paul's goodbye message to Pablo was absolutely hilarious. Far and away, the highlight of the show for me, Taryn. Did it work for you as an editor?
It did. There were a lot of moments in this episode that I actually thought were well put together, and that was definitely one of them. It was the music was great.
Yes.
The blacking out the picture, the goodbye, everything about it was great. I really hope that we see more of Pablo in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. Will Pablo go to the jury house, Alex?
I hope not. I fear for his safety and what may come. What kinds of profanity may be etched on him, or, you know.
But imagine if Michelle arrives and then this is doorbell ring. They're like, oh, it was a double.
It's just the duck sitting on a chair or like on a stool at the door. Yeah,
yeah, that's very funny.
I'm back.
Look, and if nothing happens this week, maybe they do that jury house segment coming up on
Thursday.
Just
with one eye open, Meech.
Yeah.
Whack.
All right, so then in terms of the decision-making from Victor, we saw that Victor did seem, like, really earnest about, like, oh, Nicole and Corey had our backs this week, so we have to sort of pay it forward this week, and we need to put James and Natalie up on the block this week, and we can't have any sort of double dealing or funny business because we have to honor our word. Taryn, do you think that Victor is being a little too naive? Should he have potentially explored some other options this week with his nominations?
You know, he could definitely have explored those options. You know, Victor is a very, very loyal guy until Paul tells him to betray the people he's loyal to. But before that, he's a very loyal guy. And so he doesn't really think those things through too much. And so luckily for Nicole and Corey, Paul is also on board with this and also gung-ho about going to this final four. And they are not really thinking about the idea of, can Nicole and Corey betray us next week? Is it in their best interest? Yes. This is a little bit of a blind spot, for sure.
Yeah. Alex, do you have any thoughts on Victor's reluctance to even consider anything else except James and Natalie?
It's a tough spot, right? I mean, basically, you know, going into this head of household competition with 2v2v2, pretty much whoever was going to win this was going to have to target a pair, you know, evict somebody, and then you're left with a five with two pairs and a solo person. And if you're, you know, part of the pair that just evicted their partner, then, you know, it stands to reason that they would gravitate toward the other pair. And now you're at a 3-2 disadvantage. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you could definitely see why, you know, Victor just winning this put him in a spot where he was going to kind of be in a bad spot either way. The problem is kind of Paul and Victor were going to be almost universally the pair that got targeted if they didn't win this competition. They were the one pair that really needed to win and just are pretty much in a position where they kind of have to just win out or figure it out as they go. I mean, they're such big targets relative to everyone who's left at this point that I think, you know, if they're not seeing it, then it is very naive because, you know, certainly a three makes sense next week when you're down to five, but I think they're pretty much needing to win from here on anyway.
How are we feeling about Victor's new catchphrase, unevictable? Because I don't think that's necessarily right. I'm thinking like Princess Bride, I don't think you know what that word means.
Yes, he's actually been evicted more times than most people who have ever played the game in one single season. So, yeah, maybe he should have gone with the unevictable pun.
Unevictable pun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really the...
Or super evictable.
Yeah. It's not quite there. It's I feel like he needs to work with Paul on the catchphrases. That's really yeah. Not quite there. I'm not feeling it. I want to talk about then the Nicole and Corey side of thing, where Nicole, we really gave her a lot of praise last week for coming up with this plan to be able to get Meech out of the house and be set up well and to avoid the block this week. But I just think that Nicole is this flawed player where she's really you know, that was a good plan she had last week. But when it comes down to the social game and having to lie through her teeth, she is so bad at that. We saw that again tonight where after, you know, James basically threw her under the bus about the Final Four to Victor and Paul, she really got off scot-free by Victor just saying like, we're not worried about that, because she was really just caught red-handed. She's like, what? That's like, such freaking, like, it's like, so, those guys are dirty.
Even in the diary room, she was like, yeah, I'm so bad at lying. So I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, no, that is not any better.
But you know what? I think, and this may be a very hot take, I think that that alone makes her better than average player on this season. The fact that she knows she's a bad liar. Because so many people on this season either refuse to lie because of some like misplaced sense of integrity, or, you know, or at least thought they weren't lying, or then they lied and, you know, are just so naive that they think they're good when they're just totally being sniffed out. So give Nicole some credit, and I know it's damning with faint praise, but that's what we've been doing a lot this season. That at least she knows what she's bad at.
But Taryn, couldn't you exploit this KGB-like tell that Nicole has in the house where just like ask her questions about like, are you working with this person? No. No. Are you working with this person? No. Like, no. Like, that is like, no.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why it was so bad of Michelle, James, and Natalie to have not even talked to her last week. She would have crumbled like a stale cookie, where it's just like she, like, all they had to do was ask and she would have been like,
Yeah, we saw literally the first conversation that was had and how like it was just immediate where she was like, I mean, she hasn't talked to me all week. How hard was that? You could have figured that out 6 days earlier and started to try to do something.
Yeah. I feel like even just like in the retelling of Big Brother 16, we're like, boy, Derek really had it pegged pretty quick. Nicole was capable. It's like probably he had like one conversation with her. It's just like, no, like, like, I'm not even like friggin' doing anything. And it's like, all right, Nicole has to go.
Well, it's like she's perceptive. You know, she recognized Derek as the threat that he was. A lot of people didn't see it. You know, she recognized, like, oh, Frank and Davon, like, these people are talking about me. These people have to go. And they went when she needed them to go. So give her credit. I mean, she's got some skills that play really well in the Big Brother house. Her ability to lie is unfortunately not one of them.
She's observant. She seems to like have a good mind for the strategy, but she's way too paranoid and she's a terrible liar in the house. And she gets involved in these showmances, which I guess this season you have to say was probably more of a net positive than a net negative. But in a vacuum, I don't know, Alex.
Yeah, well, you know, in this season, it really has, it really has been the land of the blind, and Nicole is just carrying through with one eye every week.
Well, I think the one thing that saves her when it comes to the lying is that she's actually pretty decent at it when she's not put on the spot. It's confrontation that makes her super uncomfortable. She's not able to lie when she's asked direct questions that she wasn't prepared for. Like when she has the faculties to go to somebody on her own and come up with a lie, she's able to pretty convincingly. That's sort of what was able to save her the week that Natalie was HOH and got Natalie to betray Paul and Victor. So I think that's sort of why she's able to skate by not being able to lie. Just that, like, not enough people are confronting her to find out the truth.
And also look at the people she has to fool. I mean, you know, we've got James who, you know, God love him, but the dude is hapless when it comes to figuring out the, you know, strategic nuance and the subtle maneuverings of this game. You know, this is the guy that said to Natalie, I think I was watching feeds the other day, and he said something to the effect of, man, the problem with Nicole is that every time you catch her in a lie, she just denies it. It's so hard. Like, dude, that's like bad. Like, that's not hard to navigate. Just, what?
I mean, like, to be fair, though, like, nobody else does that, right? Like, nobody else in the house denies.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. No.
Like, okay. People just immediately tell the truth. It's ridiculous.
Oh, well, Nicole doesn't remember that. All right, well, that didn't happen, so I guess, yeah.
Okay, let's get into some questions here, and then we'll talk about all of the stuff from the live feeds and the veto from this weekend. All right, let's start off with Gary Hogan, who says, what the flying hell was Game of Harry Potter? You know, in the preseason, we also got some stuff about how that Corey was going to be sleepwalking. We didn't really see a ton of that. Maybe it happens on the feeds, but it really hasn't come up on the show. Taryn, do we need more Corey sleep talking?
We would certainly like it.
Yes.
He's only sleptwalked once in the house, and I think they showed that, right?
Did we see that?
I can't remember if it made the show. I feel like it did.
Yeah, I can't remember now either. But
maybe it's a clip show.
Yeah, maybe. but yeah, this is amazing stuff. You know, sleep talking, sleep walking. It's all really, really, really fun to see, and it has been since Eric in season 3. It's always funny. It's never not funny. So as much as this is possible.
Yeah, not since Cody slapped himself awake in the face, Rob, have I had so much fun watching a dude sleep.
My brother Cody woke himself up by slapping himself in the face.
Yeah. Like a true OG.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's do from JP Talks BP says, I get why Nicole's mad that Corey went for the half slot, but he still was the first to get two letters down. So was it that big of a deal? All right, well, we haven't talked about that yet. So is Nicole mad at Corey for going for the being a have, Taryn?
Well, she was to some extent, right? And I think it was justified. And this is another thing that kind of shows that her head is in the game a little bit more than the other people in the house, because she recognizes that it's not the fact that you're, you know, giving up an egg for the have-not when you should be gunning for the win. It's the fact that, you know, oh, you're betraying the fact that you feel comfortable right now. And if other people see the sign, then they might start to think, why is he feeling so comfortable? Oh, it's because he's in the middle of two groups. Oh, well, maybe he's in the position that we need to target. And I think that's really good thinking. And it's good that she, you know, it's not necessarily good that she's going to like nag at Corey for it, but it's good that she's bringing it up to Corey to be like, listen, we need to kind of lie a little bit lower, act like we're a little bit more desperate than we are.
Meanwhile, Corey's just like, I'm 6'4" and I've slept in a bumper car for 4 weeks. Yeah. That's as far as he's thought this thing through, Rob.
He was thinking Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, he gets those Harry Potter fever dreams when he spends too much time in bumper cars.
Look, I know what you mean on that Game of Harry Potter. What's with that Dumbledore, all right? You know what I mean? Okay, let's. Logan Elliott says, James said he will pull down Natalie if she wins veto. Do you think that she would let him? All right, let's just talk about hypothetically, in a vacuum, if Natalie wins a veto, what would James say to Natalie? Would he physically allow, like, could you refuse the power of veto to be used on you in that sort of situation? Let's talk about this that way, Taryn.
I think this has been talked about before. Like, is that possible? But I don't think it's ever been explained. I would guess that you can't refuse it. I would guess that if it's used on you, it's used on you, and that's the end of it. That said, I think that James would push against this idea as much as possible. If we flip it around and James wants to use it on Natalie, I think ultimately Natalie will find a way to be like, oh, okay, fine.
You. Yeah.
You shouldn't have. I told you.
Yeah.
This makes my heart hurt so much, James.
I will say, I really do. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a rule on it, but I really would love to see the awkwardness of a ceremony where someone's like, you know, just take the necklace in there. And it's like, no, just won't take it. Like, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Don't you even. No,
you take
no.
The, you take
James,
a stupid necklace.
Hey, you just take this necklace and you take it. No, I can't.
I didn't even wear shoes to the ceremony.
Yeah, that would be very fun. I would love to see that in some sort of crazy scenario.
Put it around your neck.
Yeah.
Do it.
Jerry D says, Nicole seems to have a say in most evictions. Has anyone been evicted that Nicole didn't want gone? This is a fun thing that, you know, we would talk about in the evolution of strategy when we would talk about how dominant certain winners are. Alex, is there anything that happened this season that Nicole did not want to have happen? I guess Pauly is the big one. Anything
big one.
Else than that?
Let's see. She probably didn't want to lose the first challenge where Corey and Glenn had the fight to see who leaves.
Yeah.
She probably didn't want to see the Girls Alliance turn inward so quickly.
What about in terms of evictions?
Zakiya leaving is the biggest one where Zakiya left over over Michelle. And and then the next week, you know, obviously she didn't want Polygon, but she
those
did want Polygon over Corey. So honestly, I think the Zakiya elimination was the worst.
But good for her, and you know, to some degree, Corey, for being able to ride out the overthrow of the power on that side of the house. Yeah. Like, she was part of the powers that be in the Poly group, and then she's able, her and Corey are able to sort of like ride out the storm and then get into power first with James and Natalie and then with the sitting duck. So, I mean, they have been pretty adaptable to however the shifting winds have gone in the second half of this game.
No, yeah, Nicole or Corey win this game. I think you have to look at that move, Final Eight right there, where they're able to convince James and Natalie to flip on Paul and Victor as maybe the pivotal move in the entire game. No. Because, I mean, really, Nicole, you know, kind of just went to Natalie with a story, and Natalie didn't kind of fact check any of it and rolled with, you know, what James was saying, or what Nicole was saying at that point. And, I mean, that was pivotal for everything that's come since.
You know, we've made fun of Nicole tonight, but I think that you could honestly make a case that she's been the best player in this season. And you know, damning with faint praise, but I think that that's not necessarily a tough case to make.
I'm glad you said it first, Rob.
Yes, yes. All right, let's go back to Chris, who says, did Zingbot jinx all the other house guests when he said Nicole could never win? I'm thinking it's just my... I believe that the Zingbot said that she couldn't win competitions. Last week, she wins the HOH and the veto. Is that a jinx, Taryn?
It's not a jinx. I mean, I feel like it's the person that the Zingbot likes to make fun of, like Andy, who is ultimately probably better at the game than a lot of the other people. So if anything, it's sort of just like calling out the people who are playing sort of a better game.
Yeah, right. You suck because you float and have social relationships with everyone in the house, or you suck because you're throwing things and no one sees you as a threat. Like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. Damn you, Zingbot. Like, freaking Zingbot. Like, I can't even. Hey, My City says, did anyone ever tell James the dad code supersedes the Texas code when it comes to turning away 500K? Alex, quick, Google the dad code. What's the dad code?
I guess just the idea that he's a dad.
The dad?
He's got a kid?
He's got to be loyal to his kids over his best friend.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Should you be more loyal to your kid than a girl who isn't even going to date you after the show, but is going to be a platonic best friend after the show is over, and then you're probably going to passive-aggressively tweet about it by November? Yeah, that's a good point.
I think America's favorite player does. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well said. Okay. Tom Palmer wants to know, did Vic winning this HOH pretty much guarantee a James, Nicole, Corey final three? I don't have my Johnny Mac soundboard, but I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. I think that they're still both very capable in competitions. And, you know, so far, Nicole and Corey have not talked about necessarily turning on Paul and Victor. They're mostly just concerned about making sure that nobody turns on them. So it could be the case that they actually stay loyal to this final four.
Okay. And then let's go to Maya Coppin, who says, at this rate, who do you guys believe will win in a final two between Victor and Corey? And Tom Palmer also, could anyone beat Victor in a jury vote at this point? What the Victor Corey final two? That would be a tricky final two to get to. We probably should wait and talk the different scenarios through after we get through the spoilers. But let's just talk about Victor in a final two. Alex, do you look at Victor as an unbeatable opponent in the final two?
I don't know that I'm ready to say that yet. I do think that I've certainly come around a lot in recent weeks and have to change kind of my initial how I view the game based on kind of the perceptions that I'm seeing other people take. I think a lot of people are putting a lot of stock into Victor's competition wins, and it's very possible. I mean, I think I saw Derek had a broadcast where he said he would vote for Victor to win. So I think if you've got strategists saying that, then you really have to think very long and hard about, like, what kind of support this guy would gain if he was in a Final Two situation. I think it's a very real thing.
Yeah, Taryn, he certainly has a claim to the Iron Throne, but would you say that there is no one that can beat Victor in the Final Two? Because I think that's probably going a bridge too far.
It might be, but it also might not be. You know, based on what we've seen in the house, people are much less concerned about Victor betraying them because Victor seems... Not even because Victor seems straightforward and not necessarily even because of his social game, but because Victor has been screwed over now twice, nobody blames him for screwing people over again. Like, being evicted is this huge suit of armor when it comes to his social game. And, you know, when people are mad at Nicole and Corey, when people are mad at Paul, they're not mad at Victor because, well, we screwed Victor. What else is he going to do? And I honestly think that that's going to be a large part that plays into this Final Two vote if he's there. And add to that the fact that he has become more likable and he's very straightforward with people, which has gotten him evicted twice, but is also a really good thing to have when you get to the Final Two.
Okay, Alex, real quick, let me throw an analogy at you. What do you think of Paul and Victor as the Hayden and Enzo of BB18? Victor being the Hayden.
I kind of like it. I mean, I definitely see the character profiles you're going for here.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously there's some, you know, extenuating circumstances, what with the brigade being a, you know, a bigger conglomerate than just the twosome. But yeah. I like what you're doing there.
Yeah, I just think at the end of the game that the jury votes for the person that they think is the most likable as opposed to necessarily the most strategic. And I think that in that case, I do think that more people have positive feelings about Victor than they do Paul, Taryn.
I somewhat disagree with the criteria. I think that the jury votes for who they respect the most, and I think likability plays a lot into that. But there is also the factor of strategic ability, and I think that Paul will have some respect in the jury, but I ultimately think that Victor will be respected because of his personality and because of how straightforward he is, and because of the fact that, again, that nobody will blame him for betraying them because he got evicted twice. So I ultimately think that they respect Victor a lot more than they respect Paul. And a lot of that, again, is also his straightforwardness.
Okay. Let's go to Patrick Lee Ashby. Question for Alex. Is Nicole still considered a Fruit Loop dingus?
Ooh.
What? Like, no. No.
It depends on who you ask. I would say yes, because it clearly still bothers her.
Darren, do you have
since
a
you
dissenting
asked me.
Opinion? Yeah. Why is Alex the expert on that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course she's a Fruit Loop dingus. Like, what is she doing in bed with Corey all day?
I was going to go back to the HOH competition. Yeah.
The game that she is playing is really quite decent. And if she was not just up Corey's, like, nonsense constantly, then she could be playing a really great game if she was actually out there socializing more, winning jury votes. I think that this could be a really, really good game of Big Brother instead of just a kind of decent one. And it's unfortunate, but yes, absolute Fruit Loop dingus behavior.
Yeah, okay. Let's do one more question. We'll talk live feeds. Jenny wants to ask, if Natalie gets to the Final Two, who should sit next to her to give her the best chance of winning? So, all right, if Natalie was going to have her druthers and she had a chance to get to the Final Two, who does she match up best against in that of the remaining house guests?
I would guess Houseplant Corey.
Houseplant Corey? Yeah. Darren, you co-sign?
I think Corey would be her best shot, but, you know, it also might be Paul and it also might be Nicole.
Well, yeah, okay. We need another one of those jury segments. Now that they've spent a lot of time with Paulie, surely there's somebody else that they've, like, shifted their ire towards. And I'm curious to see who that is, especially now that Michelle's coming in and adding, like, a whole new, like, dash of venom to the cocktail there.
Well, also, don't forget that you have to remember, like, in this scenario where she gets to the Final Two, like, how did that happen? Did somebody just take her and, and like, either... Does Nicole say, I'm going to betray everybody else in the game, all of my allies, to drag Natalie to the Final Two? Or does Natalie end up going on a run here where then she wins every HOH and veto along the way, where now she has a bunch of comps under her belt? So if she's there, the story of how she got there might change and influence our opinion. So that's why you can't really say anybody is completely, you know, dead in the water at this point, except for Pablo. So that being said, then let's go ahead and let's get into our spoiler segment to talk about everything that's going on with the veto and everything over the weekend. And then we can talk through a few more questions along the way. We will be back for more Big Brother on Wednesday night here on RHAP. And just because it's Labor Day doesn't mean that there is going to be a week off for reality TV or happy hour. Jordan Parhar is not celebrating Labor Day. He will be back with the live feed correspondence. You guys don't have barbecues or anything to go to tomorrow?
We're barbecuing together via podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. So
it's barbecue themed.
Yeah. Kidwell's got the laptop near the grill. Be careful. Don't get it too close. But that's going to be tomorrow night. Do you have a time yet for reality TV for happy hour?
I believe it's looking 9. Is that what we...
Yeah, I think so.
9 Eastern. Okay. So Eastern. After the barbecues are over, catch the live feed correspondence and Jordan on reality TV wrap ups. And with that being said, let's get into talking about the spoilers. And here we are. All right. Spoiler time. And Taryn, all right. What's the update here on the veto?
Corey wins the veto over Natalie.
Okay. All right. There you go. So Corey has the veto. And now it does not look good for James and Natalie. Alex, is there any talk of changing up these nominations?
No talk of changing up the nominations. Just a lot of conversation regarding who's going to go home on Thursday.
All right. So
who's it going to be?
Taryn, which way is the arrow pointing?
Well, Nicole and Corey played this about as well as they should have. They waited until after the veto was won, and they had the power to lock up nominations, and then they started really pushing. Hey, you know, Natalie, man, she came second in that mental competition. She's really smart, you know. I've been told that she's a secret genius. She could really be pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. Maybe we should keep James around. And lucky for her, Paul is on board with this.
Okay. So is it looking like Natalie is going to go home on Thursday?
That's what it's looking like.
Oh, boy. How locked in is that?
It's not entirely locked in. Victor still wants James out first, but because Paul wants Natalie out first, Paul has the ultimate say. So unless Paul decides to change his mind, I see this as going through.
And there's a lot of time left, but yeah, I mean, Nicole and Corey are 2 votes this week, so if that's what they want, you know.
And that's true. Corey has said, Corey has said, you know what, whatever. I don't care what Victor wants. Natalie's going to go home anyway. I don't know if they'll follow through with that. I think ultimately if both Paul and Victor say, listen, we don't want Natalie out, then they might back down. But this is a really big coup for Nicole and Corey because Natalie is 100% going to gun for them if she stays this week. And James is not. James is going to go after Paul and Victor. So this is a really, really big win for them.
Yeah. Wow. My gut reaction is saying that this is a mistake to get rid of Natalie first instead of James, but I guess it sounds like it's a win for Nicole and Corey and a mistake for potentially Paul and Victor. Is this potentially Paul's crucial mistake, Taryn?
It really could be, and it's really interesting kind of how it played out, because what happened was Natalie went up to Paul and Victor and she apologized for betraying them. It was a very heartfelt apology on her part. And then she left and Paul had his fun with what happened, you know, saying, oh, she's throwing James under the bus. Then later that day, Natalie was sleeping and she overheard Paul get called to the diary room. And he was in the middle of having a conversation about medieval stuff. And so he's like, oh, I'm getting called to the diary room to talk about all my medieval conversations. And Natalie overheard that and thought he meant meaningful conversations. She thought he was talking about when she went up to apologize to him. And she thought that he was making fun of her for it. So then when he came back, he was talking about how he was like, oh, yeah, I was making fun of James and Natalie in the diary room. She overheard that as well. And so what she thought was happening was that he was like right after she apologized, it was a genuine heartfelt apology. She was like, well, now he's saying like this terrible stuff about it. And it was all stemming from this misunderstanding of medieval or meaningful. And then Paul asks them, like, how are you sleeping? And James says, oh, yeah, we heard everything that you said after you came out of the diary room. And Paul just booked it upstairs and was like, hey, Vic, I think they heard us. I think they know that we were making fun of them. And so now Paul is worried about Natalie not liking him. And that's sort of, I think, why he has turned on her and why they're going after Natalie instead, or he's going after Natalie instead of James.
Yeah, right. Natalie's definitely hurt, and Paul's reading it, and it's affecting his perception of the situation for sure. Mm-hmm.
So then, is the plan next week, assuming that Nicole and Corey get back into power, is the plan to then turn again and then put up the sitting ducks onto the block, Alex, and then keep James as a vote that's going to send one of those guys home?
It's not necessarily going to happen, but you know what, it's hard for me not to see a situation where we get there and it's staring them in the face and they don't just go ahead and, you know, take the logical move at that point. The numbers pretty much dictate that you do it, and I think, you know, they talk you know, loyalty to the Final Four at this point, but I think when you get there, that's the kind of move that just makes itself almost, you know, maybe not, but we'll see.
Taryn, has the relationship been damaged enough between the Paul and Victor side of the house where they couldn't potentially woo James back over, especially if Natalie gets out of the game and James gets his head out from where it shouldn't be and wakes up and is like, oh, I've got a good shot to go with these guys as opposed to go with Nicole and Corey?
Here's the biggest thing for me. After all of this happened, you know, Corey talked to James and said, like, you never know, you might be staying. And so they're kind of onto this idea that James might be saved by Nicole and Corey. And Natalie said to James, if you turn around and work with Nicole and Corey after I get evicted, I will never speak to you again. She is that gung-ho about targeting those two. Yeah. But here's the thing.
Lay it down.
James,
that's
put
her
his
out.
Foot down.
That's her out. After the season, right? Like, well, James, I was gonna marry you, but then you worked with Nicole and Corey, so now we have to break up. I'm sorry. I told you not to do it, James. We were right there. I was ready. We were going to have a physical relationship, James. And now I'm sorry. I can't go back on my word.
But James actually puts his foot down here and he's like, listen, that's really hurtful, actually. That's a really mean thing to say. Like, I should be able
Not
to
cool.
work with them. And so he really stood his ground there. And that really tells me a lot that, like, he really, really thinks that working with Nicole and Corey is his best move moving forward. So I really do think it'll be difficult for Paul and Victor to sway him over to their side unless they win HOH.
Okay, I wanted to do this before we got into the live feeds, but I thought it might spoil too much. So if we're going to pick a winner at this point in time, about 2.5 weeks till the end of the season, Alex, as of September 4th, who is your winner pick for the season? Is it Nicole?
It is.
Nicole, all right. Taryn.
Right now it's Nicole, but Paul is still second.
Paul is still second. Well, that's interesting to have Nicole first and Paul second. Why do you have it that way? Because I feel like that you'd have two people from the same side.
Well, I think that one side is going to win. And I think that Paul is more likely to win if his side wins. Here's the thing, though. If Paul brings Victor, I think that might be his undoing. So I think that ultimately he needs to be able to make the right move in the end. So, but if he's able to do that, if he's able to sort of win the battle between Nicole and Corey and Paul and Victor, then he's probably also able to suss out that he probably needs to stab Victor in the back at some point, or be able to alter the jury perception of Victor. So that's sort of where I'm seeing it.
You know, right,
I can see a scenario where Paul is able to out argue and, you know, articulate the reason for why he should beat Victor and have it kind of actually come through for him. I can see it.
Yeah, it's just nuts that this thing could shift like two or three more times back and forth, where then if James stays, then he could flip back to that side, and then Nicole and Corey could take out somebody from that side, and if like Victor or Paul got HOH at Final Four, it could flip back again. So it really has been kind of crazy, really post-Pauly, how the power has changed hands from side to side a bunch of times. We've had a bunch of flip-flops, which is probably uncharacteristic for a season of Big Brother. Fair or unfair, Alex?
Fair, yeah. And I think it's a reason why, you know, this season, obviously early on, a lot of people wrote it off as terrible. But I think, you know, in hindsight, a lot of people are going to look back on this season as being a little bit better than we initially gave it credit for. I think, you know, I look at like a season like Big Brother 4, where, you know, just alliances were shifting so much down the stretch, and it came down to the end, and all of a sudden the girls are going to work together, and they were never working together before, and things just kind of came together every week, it seemed like. And that, yeah, that makes for a great ending. So yeah, I think it's exciting, especially when you have three factions at a Final Six as opposed to two, which is you know, rare.
Yeah, Kelly Lynch in the chat wants to know, Rob, who do you think? I think I'd say Nicole as well, just because that she's in this pair that's tight with Corey, and that if she has James working on her side, I do think that she probably has the know-how and the expertise to be able to get it down to her winning the game. But that if I'm picking her, then she probably won't win. So then I'll be happy if Paul or Victor ends up winning the game. All right. A couple more questions, then we'll wrap this up tonight. Let's go back to Miriam, who says, did Victor's beast mode comp wins and comeback save this season? Should we be giving most of the credit for the resurgence of Big Brother 18, Taryn, to Victor and the battle back?
I think that's hard to tell. I think that the first time he came back, it almost killed the season because he gave Paulie all the power that he needed. Luckily, sort of
mostly
Natalie was,
killed the season. It's not the same as killed the season.
It's very true in Victor's case. This time coming back, he saves us from a Nicole and Corey kind of like stomp fest toward the end. So in that sense, it's a little good. So it's been a mixed bag, I think.
Mixed bag. All right, let's keep going. Let's go back to AJ, who says, Victor says he has 9 comp wins, but I count 8. 3 HOHs, 3 battle backs, 1 roadkill, 1 veto. What's the 9th? We did this math on a podcast earlier this season. It's probably not that fun to do in the live show.
Victor's also counting the fact that he got back in the jury comp on the wall the second time. Even though he didn't win that competition, he did beat all the other jurors. Victor,
are you sure
certainly
about that? I feel like we had 8 before going into him winning this HOH, which would be his 9th. Are we counting that the first competition
you're right.
Of the season?
Maybe that's right. Maybe he isn't counting that. Maybe his HOH was 9 for him then. Yeah.
It's going to be like getting into all sorts of interesting math for the audio listeners and probably for the visual listeners too.
Battle of Block and Roadkill and all this stuff has like ruined Big Brother
Somebody posted in the comments. We'll show our work.
These stats used to be more meaningful.
Yeah.
The thing is, Victor is very, very generous about counting things as competition wins. Yeah. And,
asterisk.
Yeah. Ultimately, I don't think that we can count a lot of them. Plus the fact that, you know, a lot of players, like Janelle, who holds the current record, didn't have a chance to come back into the house twice in one season to sort of bolster up her resume.
Yeah, she didn't get to play one-on-one versus Glenn, bro. That was you.
Hey.
Only you.
For the record, I never played one-on-one against Victor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kidwell. Don't try to change history and make up all these things that never could have possibly happened. I would never do that. You should never do that too, Alex.
Yeah. Well, I would only like it, because that version of reality gives more airtime.
Yeah. If only I had been one-on-one against Victor.
Yes, if only. If I would have been one-on-one against Victor, then you would have seen. All right.
I'd be the front runner for America's favorite player, and you'd see me winning this game in a matter of days.
Sadie Holloway once said, was it dumb of Nicole to lie about her final 4 with James and Nat when Paul and Victor already know and assured her that they don't care? It's just like, yeah, when she just kept going, like, selling festivals. No, but, like, those guys is really, it's really just like, oh, really, that really gets me worked up.
Yeah.
What?
What are you talking about? She's done this before too, where it's like people don't care, but she continues to lie about it, which just comes off so sketchy. It's just like you need to know when to admit things.
That's amazing.
This
yeah, like
me. So.
There's nothing to admit.
Well, it's like it does remind me kind of Andy, how like he just used to get away with everything, but like he was doing things to get away with it. Whereas like Nicole's just like, they're like, okay, Nicole, don't worry about it, it's fine. Like they're never just like willing to just not even have to hear an explanation. They're good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do one more question here tonight. Edmo wants to know, are we supposed to feel bad for Natalie? James, the show is certainly wanting us to give some sympathy for Jadalee. Taryn, are you feeling bad for the star-crossed lovers?
No, but here's the thing. I do feel a little bit bad for James, especially with this edit, because Natalie is so convinced that James has led them to this disaster. And she keeps saying, like, I never trusted Nicole and Corey. I knew. I always knew. And I was the one that trusted you, and you trusted them, and that's why. Like, first of all, she was the one that flipped to betray them in the first place. But second, and even more importantly, it was her mistrust of James, of Nicole and Corey, that ultimately turned them against you. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I never trusted them and I was right. It was like, oh, I never trusted them and that's why they betrayed us, because they knew that you didn't trust them.
Because they could read it off me. I was just exuding it. Like,
That Natalie is terrible backseat driver, and it's not good.
Not, Rob? Who's a good backseat driver?
It's not good. James can't score a point here no matter what. And really, I think if he pushes back too hard on anything, then she's going to say, you know what, James? This isn't working out. I'm sorry. No. You were right. I'm so stupid. I'm so sorry.
I need to make up for this. I'll throw everything away for you.
He has no hand in this relationship.
No hand.
Yeah, you got it.
No age
for James. Sorry.
Now it's really a game of Harry Potter.
No hand. All right. That's gonna do it for us here tonight. Alex, what's the hashtag?
Houseplant Corey.
Houseplant Corey.
I don't know.
Okay. Taryn, can you beat that?
You got to wait for the chat to give some suggestions,
right,
then I can sound really smart.
As we start to wind down everything that's going on here, of course. I will be back in the studio shortly. I will also be talking about the third week of Australian Survivor coming up. We did emergency podcast coverage over the weekend with Stephen Fishback, where we talked about a very exciting episode number 5 of Australian Survivor, a twist-packed episode. So you can check that out on the Rehap Ups feed. Steven and I will be live on Wednesday afternoon. Haven't nailed down a time yet for that, but we will be talking about that. And then, of course, Wednesday night, we will have our next episode of the Big Brother recap. Yeah, I think hashtag best friend zone. That's the hashtag to go with. Use that one on Twitter, of course. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. They will both be live with Jordan Parhar, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then we are heating up here as we are. The March 2 Survivor Season 33 continues. We posted our Gen X preview. We'll have our Angie Contz preview coming up, hopefully this week on the podcast. Corinne preview the week after that. And then soon enough, we will be kicking off Millennials versus Gen X here on the podcast this September. A lot to do. Make sure you subscribe. Go to robinsonwebsite.com/iTunes. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, as always. And we'll talk to you on our next live show Wednesday night after Big Brother, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.